It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I was thinking about remembrances, and I believe Memorial Day means remembrances to me. That word memorial means remembrance to me, okay? And I'm not much on doing memorial mothers, fathers, and all that services, but I will this morning just share with you a few thoughts. And if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And while you're doing so, I want to tell you to pray for someone that, I tell you, so many people are sick, and I'm afraid I'm going to miss some. But as God lays them on my heart, that's what I want to do, is pray for them. I've been praying for Sister Kathy. I've been praying for Brother Donnie. I've been praying for all of them that's asked me to pray for them. I have been praying for them. And maybe not at all times, but as God brings my remembrance, I will pray for them. Now, on my heart today is Brother Bill Hicks. Does anybody know him? Brother Bill Hicks, pastor of Wayside Baptist Church up next to Lawrenceville somewhere up in there. What's the name of that little town? Do you know? Anyway, it's on 14 going toward the east, on past Eden, going on toward Martinsville. Okay, it's on the left side up there by Midway. And the other night, they carried his wife to the emergency room. And when they carried her to the emergency room there, I think it was in Eden, more than likely, or Martinsville, whichever. But they flew her to helicopter by that to Richmond. And so she's on the ventilator also, in my understanding. She got a bed. It looks bad, yes, but God's able. She, something wrong with the blood. And it also told her, if, you know, they couldn't get the blood. If I'm wrong, you tell me, okay? A lot of infection in the blood.
And they think in about it, they'll have to put her on dialysis, but she's in critical.
Yeah, they may have to put her on dialysis, yeah. But anyway, she is on the ventilator also. It doesn't look good. Brother Bill and his son-in-law, my understanding, he's a pastor also. So they went down to Richmond and tried to get in to see, and they wouldn't let him in. After they drove all the way down there, they couldn't go in. And so I remember them in prayer also. They had to turn around and come back home. And that's sad to me, and I know it's sad to you also, but there's so many people like that today. You know, everywhere I turn, there's somebody that's sick. I'm almost getting to the place that I don't want to answer my phone, you know, because it's always something bad. So remember them in prayer, then remember me this morning also, as I try to bring the message that I feel that God has laid on my heart. So, okay? And just pray for me. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? We're to put God first in our life, aren't we? That's the way I feel about it anyway. We need to put God first in our life. We need to try our best put God first in our life and seek his righteousness. And all, he said, all these other things should be added unto you. What kind of things is that? Well, let's look and see. Well, first of all, let's pray again, okay? Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, the sweetest name that we knew this side of eternity. Thank you for what you do for us, Lord. You've been so good to us. You love us. You care for us. And Lord, you supply every need. We thank you for that. And so many times, you supply our wants. And Lord, sometimes we find that we didn't need them after all, but we thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you're just blessed today in a special way. Lord, I pray that the anointing power of the Holy Spirit will be upon the service today. Lord, I pray for every special request that's mentioned this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take each one of them and answer them according to thy will and riches in glory. Lord, Brother Donnie, we ask that you'll touch his body. Lord, I pray for Sister Kathy, that we pray for Kathy, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll just be dear near to her and answer that request of her. And I pray, Lord, if it's your will, that you touch her body and heal her, if it's in the center of your will. Lord, I pray for Sister Mahan today. Lord, I pray for her, and I pray for Christy, as they're trying to help Brother Donnie out as much as possible. Give him strength. Lord, I pray for Brother Bill and his wife and his family. I pray for his wife, Lord, that you just touch her if it's your will. Lord, I know that there's a lot of people sick. A lot of people have been asked to pray for. And I pray that you just take them and answer them according to thy will and riches in glory. And Father, we pray that you just give us the words that's most needed this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I don't know if I missed anybody or not, but God, if I did, Lord, help them also. Amen. There's so many people, you know, in our minds, we can't quite comprehend all of the ones that are going through sickness. And I know that, Lord, we should be able to, but we can't in our own finite minds. Or infinite minds, which is it? Finite minds, I guess. But anyway, I want to try our best today to share with you these thoughts. I had a preacher to tell me one time, and I never have understood why he said it, but I will tell you this. I've always thought that we ought to put God first in our life. But he says we should put our family first. Well, I look at it this way, and I may be totally wrong. And if I am, God forgive me, you forgive me. But if you put your family first, then is God going to help you with that? I think that if we put God first, that God will help us with our family and answer their requests. She's got a granddaughter that needs our prayers, and I didn't pray for her. God forbid. God forgive me. In fact, she's got two that needs our prayer. Both of them are sick. One of them's Christian, one of them's Holly. And we need your prayers for them also. And as we think about this, now where would we be if it wasn't for God and we putting us first? I mean, we putting him first. Where would we be this morning if we put, you know, we need to put God first, in other words, because God's word tells us to do that right here in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, it also tells us in Matthew, several verses I'm going to be using, you know, a couple of them anyway, this morning in Matthew. And I want you to, I'm not going to probably don't give you time to First of all, I want to share this with you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, what God tells us to do also, and that is not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some are, but exhorting one another. Now, what does that word exhort mean? That word exhort means to simply lift up. Lift up one another. We need to lift up each other in prayer and also in love and fellowship one with another. So much the more so as you see the day approaching. That's what he says. Now, what day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord's coming. So what then are we to do? We are to be in the house of God every chance that we get. In fact, we ought to be faithful to God's word and to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to get his children. We ought to be lifting people up about that because, you know, the Lord is coming very soon. And I believe that as much as I believe that I'm standing in this pulpit today trying to bring forth the bread of life for us. To you and to me, excuse me, this morning. But also, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, as we have and remember some things that come from God's word. Matthew 16, verse 24. The Bible said, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it a man profit if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, but they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.'" Now, we turn back to the Bible, but I see in Matthew also, 16 verse 24, "If any man shall come unto me, let him deny himself and follow me." All right? Now, let's look at something else. There's petitioning God for some things that we need to be doing today. There is that prevailing prayer that we need to have in our Christian life. Prevailing prayer, that effectual. James chapter 5, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but in verse 16, the Bible says, "The effectual prayer, a fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much." We know that prayer means something in a Christian's life. Does it not? Absolutely so. There's a prayer of petition for our own needs. If we need something, who can help us more than anybody else? Maybe some of our friends and our family can help us in some things. Yes. But there's a man that I know that loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for our sin. That's very not much love, isn't it? He turned his back on his own Son, his only begotten Son, that is, and he gave him to die on Calvary's cross for our sin, and that's love. But prevailing prayer means a lot. You see, there's our needs there, and the needs of others. That are effective when accompanied by faith when we pray that prevailing prayer. And when we pray that prevailing prayer for that one that died for us on Calvary's cross, that loved us and gave himself for us, I remember that just in my mind and in my heart just as much of the story of how Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for my sin and yours. I remember that. How do I remember it? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, if you want to get God's attention, you want to get God's attention when you pray, praise him. Thank him. Start out in your prayer, praying or praising. In other words, giving him praise is effective, and it brings the immediate approval of God if you praise him and then thank him for what he's doing. You know, I thank God for what he's doing for me. I know there's a lot of things that he's done for me that I really didn't deserve, but praise God, he gave them to me. He did them for me. You see, he supplies our every need. And you know, and in Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." You see, I didn't deserve that. He gives me my wants sometimes. He gives me my needs. And thank God for it today. I just want to praise the Lord for what he does for me. You see, he's so good to us that, you know, sometimes we forget to even thank him for it. But there's that prevailing prayer that we need to be praying and letting it avail much to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think about also that powerful word that we have. This word right here that I hold in my hand is the most powerful word that I know of. It's the only one that I know of, in fact. You see, God said his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God. It's quick and powerful in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You see, and let me share that with you. God's word to mankind is a chart for our life. Not only is it a chart for our life, it's a map for our life. In other words, he shows us how and where to get there. Showing us the how to successful living. You know, we need in our Christian life successful living, don't we? He tells us, shows us by the word of God, how to walk in our Christian life, how to talk in our Christian life, how to thank God for and dress and look like a Christian in our Christian life. And he talks, and he shows us how to smell in a Christian life. He shows us how that we are to not only do all of that, but we ought to live for Jesus every day of our life. I know that I fail him so many times, I hate to even say anything about it. But, you know, he's so good to me. And I don't hate to say anything about that. I'm talking about those things that I do that I should not do, and those things that I shouldn't do that I do. He tells us how to do it. He shows us how to do it, doesn't he? So you see, we have a powerful word that is a chart, and it's a map, and it gives us a road map for our life, showing us how to get to heaven, how to preach sometimes. In fact, all the time, but they don't do it all the time, do we? It shows us how to live our Christian life. So not only that, but God's word inspires points, you know, and points the way to salvation and eternal life. It makes effective soul winners for us to be. We can be effective soul winners in our life. And I probably told you this many times. I don't know if I did or not. But I remember one time, I haven't been a soul winner like I ought to be. And I don't think any of us are like we ought to be in a soul winning. But there was a man that came to church one time. And if I've told you this, just look over it or enjoy it or praise the Lord for it, okay? Do one of the three, one or the other. But there was a man that came to that church. He hadn't come before, but his wife had. I'll get it right in a minute. She'd come, she asked me to go see him. He was not saved. And she told me some of the things about him. And it kind of scared me because, you know, I just prayed and I told her, I said, look, you don't know me very well, and I don't know you very well, but I will tell you one thing about me, and I feel like that I'm right. I said, I'll come, be glad to come and talk to him about the Lord. But I want to do it when God leads me to do it, not because you asked me to. You may not agree with that. But if I could have just went on, and the Lord had took over and done it. But I feel that, and the Bible tells us, unless the Holy Spirit leads, convicts, without the Holy Spirit conviction, then they can't get saved, or they don't get saved. Okay? So one day I was sitting at my desk working, and it'd been about a week or so. I don't know how long exactly. But he impressed on my mind. He came to my his heart. He came to my heart. And I got up and went back to the boss's office, and I told him, I said, I'll be back after a while. I'm going to witness to somebody. He said, okay. He said, anything I can do for you while you're gone? I said, no, sir. I just feel led to go. He said, okay. Take all the time you need. And that's the way my boss man was. Praise the Lord for that. But I made it plain when I went to work for him. I told him. I said, I will not come to work for you if you don't let me off when I need to be off from my church and for the Lord. He said, that's no problem with me. So I took the job. So one day, as I was telling you, I got up, told him, and you know, and I was going. He said, okay. So I went. I went up, knocked on the door. His wife came to the door. Well, I never met the man. I never seen him. And knocked on the door. She came to the door. Her eyes lit up like a light bulbs. And she said, come on in. I said, is Mr. Wallace here? She says, yes, sir. And so I went in, she introduced me to him, and I said, he didn't see me do it, but you know, I hope. But anyway, I looked at him, and he was sitting in his lazy boy chair. And his feet was hanging off that far. And he was up that high over it. And he was laying backwards. He was about 6 foot, I'm guessing now, 6 foot, maybe 6 foot three or four. Weighed about 200 some pounds. And look at me, 150 pounds, 5 foot seven. Which one would you have guessed would have won if it had been fighting? But we didn't have to fight. The Lord took care of everything. He said, I said, how you doing today? And we get talking about, you know. He said, fairly well. Of course, I had to get her out and go in the kitchen because she liked to talk, you know. And that's okay if you talk about the right thing. But I was afraid she's going to try to take over, you know. So I asked her, and the phone rung about that time. I said, "That's for you." And the phone was in the kitchen. I knew it just as good as I knew that I'm standing here right now. And so then I started talking to him. I'll get it right in a minute. And I want to tell it right. And I may leave something out. I may not tell it all. I don't know. But I'm trying to tell it right, the way I remember it. But anyway, I asked him. The Lord gave me that strength and that to ask him. I said, "Sir, do you know if you died right now, would you go to heaven?" I saw a great big tear start coming down that old man's face. I say, "Old man, I'm not just, you know, talking about him being ugly about him." But I saw that man's tears running down his cheeks. He said, "No, sir. But you know, I've been thinking about it all morning." And that was about, you know, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's wonderful, ain't it? See, God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he needs to do. So I says, "Wouldn't you like to be born again, saved, and know that you're going to heaven now?" He said, "Yes, sir, I sure would." I said, "Well, I come to tell you about Jesus." He says, he got up out of his chair. And he said, "Let's get down here on the floor." I said, "Okay." I took my Bible out of my pocket and laid it out there on a pillow he laid down for me to sit on. I said, "No, I'm going to sit on the floor like you do." Okay. And I laid it on the pillow where he gave it for me to sit on. I didn't care what I was sitting on the roof at that time, you know. And so I showed him how to be saved, and I read the scripture, John 3:16. I said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I said, "Now, I want you, let me change this again. I'm going to change the name." He said, "Okay. For God so loved," I forgot his first name. I think it was, I don't know, Mr. Wallace. I said, "For God so loved Mr. Wallace that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and whosoever believing in him," or if Mr. Wallace would believe in him, and have everlasting life. I said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "All right, do you want to be saved today then?" "Yes, sir, I do." He got down on his knees. I got down on mine, right beside of him. And I said, "All right, repeat after me." And he did. And I said, "Now, do you know you'd go to heaven if you died right now?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "All right. I know a good church you can come to and bring your wife Sunday morning. I'll be there if nothing happens." Sure enough, I told him, I said, he didn't want to know what he was supposed to do, and I told him what would be good for him to do. And I told him that he needs to study God's Word, pray the best that you know how. God will do the rest for that part. be in church Sunday morning. Of course, then I was a little more, I'm going to use the word spunky. I was a little more spunky then. I had a little more get up and go. And I preached a whole lot faster than I do now too. So y'all just have to put up with me till I get through this morning anyway. All right, so then, sure enough, door was open, he was there. I gave him an invitation that morning. He ran down to that altar. And he says, I'm already saved. I got saved at home. But I want to just thank God for saving me. And I want to let the church know that I got saved. And he got up after he got through. And he told the church. He said, I got saved. And he told them when I got saved at home. And he says, you know what else I'm doing? And I'm not bragging on myself. Absolutely not. I can do nothing without him. But he said, I went and gave up my job the next day. I said, what? You know. He said, I gave up my job. I said, okay. God told me to. That's what I done. I said, okay. If God told you to. Yes, I didn't know exactly what he was doing, what he done. But I'm glad he did after he did, you know. Because he was a taxi driver. And if they told him they wanted him to carry them to the bootlegging joint, he had to do it if he drove a taxi. So he told the church, he said, I can't do that no more. So I went and told my boss that I had gotten saved and I couldn't carry people to the bootlegging joints or places where they want to go sometimes. So I just had to give him a job. And would you believe that God gave him a job that same week? Another job. See, that's the way my God works. That's the way your God works, if you're serving the right God, and I know you are. Amen. That's just one thing I remember. I tell you, I had some good times way back then, and I'm still having some good times serving the Lord. But I just don't, you know, sometimes it just ain't quite as easy as it was back then. Where the world's done gotten now, it's sad, isn't it? It's sad. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. No man knows the day nor the hour. But I'm looking forward to it, whenever it might be. I love my wife and I love some families and everything. I love y'all. I'm just trying to exhort you today. In other words, lift you up. But I'm like the Apostle Paul. Sometimes it gets you know, between the heart and the rock, heart and the, hard place and a rock, in other words. Having a desire to go and having a desire to stay. So I'm just telling you, it's a powerful word, isn't it? God has put out there for us. God's inspired word points the way to salvation and eternal life. Then there's that positive faith that Jesus tells us about in Matthew 9:22. I would like to read that, if you will. If you want to turn with me, that's fine. If you don't, then that's okay. Matthew 9:22. Okay. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Okay? There was her positive faith right there. Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And let me tell you, it wasn't her finger that touched him, made a whole, his garment, but it was her faith that made her whole. That's what God says in the Word here. This afflicted woman right here came to Jesus determined to only touch the hem of his garment. Her faith was emphatic, and it was certain that she would be healed. All things are possible with positive faith. This kind of faith makes us effective for God, does it not? Sure it does. Preserving love. Love of Christ constrains us in 2 Corinthians 5:14. And then there's that persistent effort that we give. Don't give up on anybody. Always pray for them. Witness to them when you get a chance. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, in Isaiah 43, verse 10. We are his witnesses as Christians. So we are to witness to others about the saving power of Jesus Christ. And to be effective, we have to be persistent. We have to be patient in our efforts. And never give up. Never give up. It seems like sometimes that they may not be saved. But I'm here to tell you, if we don't give up, keep persisting. Be persistent. The value of a soul is beyond any estimation. So remember that. One other thing I want to say to you, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, if you will. Luke chapter 10. I had it marked and I took it off. So I'll give it to you in just a minute. Look at chapter 10. Verse 30 through 35, okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 35. And Jesus answered, saying, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed over on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now that's a Christian, isn't it? A certain Samaritan, a Christian, in other words. And a certain... he had compassion on him. Went to him and bound up his wounds, in verse 34, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You see? The good Samaritan paid a price to help somebody else, didn't he? That's the way we ought to be. It cost Jesus his life, his life's blood to save us. And it will cost us our time, our talent, and the treasure to help those in need. and to win the lost to Christ. But it will be worth it all one day. And let me leave you with that thought. It will be worth it all one day. You see, as Christians, we need a few things in our life that we thought about many times. So remember, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. The Holy Spirit will help you out and comfort you. When Jesus went away, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit into this world. And he'll help you out. And anything that you need, God's able to do it. He's the one, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And let's remember what God has done for us, not only on this Memorial Weekend, this Memorial Day and weekend, not always then, but also every day of our life. We ought to praise God for what he's done for us. And I thank you for coming this morning, and I give you the time by way of invitation, if you want, to come to the altar and just thank God for what he's doing. Or you got a need, you want to pray for these that have been given to you this morning, God will bless you. It'll be worth it all one day.
Amen.
When we see Jesus face to face. Now, I know he's a God of love, but I want to hear him say, enter in, thy good and faithful servant, into the joys of this world. Don't you?
Amen.
But he's going to judge us too. The Bible says, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess.